It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are watching, sadly, with Fox News right now is going to be covering... giving an update, they say soon, on the shooting that took place in Georgia. We have to do this again. It is very sad that we have to do that again. We will bring you the facts as they continue to be released. We're not using this as a subject of conversation until we know exactly what the facts are. I will tell you that so far, Fox News has reported that at least four people are dead Wednesday after a shooting at a high school in north central Georgia put the building on lockdown, according to authorities. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation confirmed that four people had died at Appalachie High School in Barrow County, Georgia, approximately 40 miles northeast of Atlanta, and nine others have been taken to various hospitals with injuries. The suspect is alive and in custody. I don't want to talk too much about this right now because we are awaiting a lot of details, which, you know, we'll get some shortly and then maybe not many. We traditionally don't have a suspect that is alive and in custody at this point.
Not recently. Seems like in the past we had, and then in the last few we have not. So that is a little different than it's been.
I'm trying to think of the last time we had a suspect that...
Florida.
That's right. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So we wait. We wait for details. If they do have a press conference here, we're going to dip into it and we're going to bring that to you. So just keep it here for the latest news on that. Let's transition a little bit here to our YouTube poll for today. And yesterday we had a poll and we were asking you about grading Kamala Harris's campaign, and it was pretty evenly split, and it ascended as we descended grades. So I think F was the highest, but it was maybe 38% or something like that, high 30s. So there wasn't a clear consensus on how you all feel about how the Kamala Harris campaign is going right now. Ryan, what's your assessment of the campaign strategy so far for Donald Trump? What grade do you give it?
I give it a BC on the high end,
which is what you gave Kamala Harris.
Yeah, same thing. On the high end for Trump, I would say that he's doing a very good job of exploiting Kamala Harris's weaknesses in that she doesn't really have policy positions. And when she does, she's all over the place. He's trying to talk policy and talk about how bad hers are. But also, he's out there talking about anything. And that is what she cannot do as a candidate. So it's not just policy. It is personality. It is the candidate. He's trying to draw a dichotomy between himself and her. That's where I think he's doing a good job. On the other side, though, I don't really think those policy discussions are coming through well enough. And if they were, I'd give him an A. But since this race really hasn't been about policy as much as I think it should be, I'm going to put that on Trump and say he could be doing a better job.
What a moment, though, for the debate.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to get through, if you're Kamala Harris, you're not going to be able to get through the debate without avoiding talking about policy. She might not talk about policy at the debate, but if she chooses to not, it's going to be such a glaring, obvious strategy that she's not willing to discuss those things that it would lead people to potentially believe maybe she doesn't have policy. Maybe she's not interested in dictating that policy. So the debate, I think, is going to be a pivotal moment, which if it goes the way of the CNN Dana Bash interview, at the end of that, it was confirmation that she still is who we thought she was.
Yeah. And nothing new. But it's just, here it is. It's the same thing.
No forward, no backwards.
Right.
More of the same. So
it's funny you say that because she's speaking right now up on Fox News. There are signs all over behind her that say a new way forward. There's nothing new.
There's nothing new. And it's debatable that it's forward.
It's just the same.
Other than the literal passage of time. That is the only thing that is forward.
Unburdened by what has been.
And now I'm thinking I'm starting to get it. Wait a second. I'm having an epiphany here. Brad, what do you think? Brian says B/C. What do you got?
I got B/C with it being a B or a B+, somewhere toward the higher end of those two. And the reason I did that is because there is not a camera they will not get in front of. There's not an interview that they won't take. J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are out there hitting the stump as hard as they can. The one thing that really impresses me is the podcast that he's going on, the Theo Vaughns, the going golfing. He's using alternative media. I don't think I've seen a presidential campaign do this ever, unless you, I don't know. Did Barack Obama go on podcasts? Where podcasts is much of a thing?
He went on YouTube, and that is kind of the equivalent. We've talked about this before that. The Obama campaign mastered YouTube before YouTube was what YouTube is right now. The Trump 16 campaign mastered Facebook. The Biden 2020 campaign stole Twitter and Facebook through ridiculous levels of influence, but were able to manipulate those social media platforms. And I do think that you're right that the Trump 2024 campaign focusing on this kind of new media could have a big impact on the election.
Yeah, so that's why I give them that B to the C, because they're looking, they're not just doing the traditional things. They're also not sitting back on their laurels. They are actively proactive. The reason it's not an A is because, you know, they do make some slip ups, or they're having to battle things that are older things. So like the cat lady comment, it's stupid politics stuff. J.D. Vance said that offhand on a Tucker Carlson interview a long time ago, but they dug it up and they did it. Now they have to defend it. It's little slip ups like that that is not an A. So maybe my standard's a little too high for an A. Also, I was upset with how they were handling it when Kamala was doing her thing. It's like nobody's talking, nobody's doing anything. And now that I look back on it, it's the rope-a-dope. They were just sitting there taking the punches and letting them wear themselves out. And now comes the counter. So I'm looking for what they're going to do as a counterpunch.
I'm still thinking that Kamala Harris will put her information on her campaign website. I bet you she announces it at the debate. That's my expectation. I don't have inside information. It's just what I think she's going to do. I think if she's waited this long and the debate is supposed to be Tuesday, what the heck?
Yeah,
another 5 or 6 days. Don't put your policies out there. She can go out on that debate stage and walk us through each one of her policies, which she can refer to her website a billion times. Go to KamalaHarris.com and you'll see that I have this, that, and the other thing. And then Donald Trump's not prepared in theory to punch back on specific points. But we should know. Donald Trump knows. Donald Trump knows what works because he's already done it before. I saw this post on Twitter last night, and I think it was about Donald Trump's first 100 days. And I want you to think about every piece of information that you've consumed from Donald Trump, like what's been put out there to try to color in your understanding of who he is or your vision or whatever of who he is. And Donald Trump is known as a fighter, and it's a combative kind of fighter. Like we know a lot of happy warriors in our life, and I don't look at Donald Trump as a happy warrior. I look at him as a fighter, and I can see how being a fighter in this realm right now and in this moment in time right now, it's very important. But there is a difference between being a fighter and being a happy warrior. And I think that when you consider that, we've never seen Donald Trump be positioned through media where the whole purpose of the media is to shine a light on the positivity that surrounds the idea of Donald Trump and what he's been able to do as the president, and again, what he would be able to do in the future. So this is an ad I'm going to play for you, and I want you to listen to this, and I want you to be in tune with how this makes you feel. Now, a lot of you listening right now, if Trump's saying it, you like it. I get it. But consume the whole body of this, because it is true that Donald Trump has done so many good things for so many people by giving America back to the people, that it's not something that is, in my opinion, prioritized by the campaign, because we're very engrossed in how dangerous Kamala Harris would be, that we focus more on the negativity of that than the positivity of what Donald Trump can do for us.
And that is the peaceful transfer of power. The 45th president of the United States is now Donald J. Trump.
He said, "I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never let you down." So we do have some breaking news, because while it is about celebration, it is also now about policy.
Oh, that's right, Aaron. President Trump went right to work. He went right into the Oval Office shortly after he departed from the meeting.
Is day two going to be as busy as day one? He met with business leaders. He met with union leaders. He signed a bunch of stuff. He fulfilled some campaign promises. What's left?
The pace over the past 10 days has been astronomical. Everybody in official Washington I talked to said, "I cannot believe he's only been president for 10 days.
Dan, I think you got to admit, they did a pretty impressive job rolling out this nomination.
This is how it's supposed to be done. I mean, this is done to the T. Actually, even more so than we've seen in the past.
We're seeing the markets react positively. It is better than expected.
Consumer confidence rocketing to a 16-year high.
Healthy job growth again for the month of February. So is this the Trump effect?
Oh, I think it is. I think there's no question that employers like Donald Trump a lot in his agenda. And I think the fact that he's just more pro-business from the previous administration.
The Dow still nearing all-time highs, just finishing the longest quarterly winning streak in 10 years.
Was by far the best speech I've ever heard Donald Trump give. It was one of the best speeches in that setting I've ever heard any president give.
He's repairing relationships with Egypt as well as with Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. You know, they saw Trump yesterday talk about Iran violating the spirit of the nuclear deal. So this is clearly part of a long-term strategy to reorient American foreign policy.
The bottom line is he's done well. He has done a lot of the things that he promised, like appointing a Supreme Court judge, like getting out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, like cutting regulation. But he's done a really good job.
Well, he's pretty close to perfect, Sean. I'm serious.
He has done more than any president in recent history, certainly in the last half century, in the first 98 days of his presidency.
I am asking all citizens to embrace this renewal of the American spirit. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States.
So that was an ad put together for the first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency. And if you watch that with us, the voices and the faces that you see praising, or, you know, even if they're not like thrilled with what it was that Donald Trump was doing, they were acknowledging that he was getting stuff done. And you think about, like, the way you can present that information, the successes that the Trump campaign can present of the Trump presidency. I want more of that. I want those ad buys where we just see the pretty colors and the nice music version of Donald Trump without having, you know, do the hit ads on Kamala Harris. Okay. They're going to certainly do them on Donald Trump. Okay. But there is so much positivity and good to offer the American voter, the American taxpayer right now, the American mom, the American dad, the American grandparent who wants to make sure that they don't have to worry about what happens with their Social Security and they know that Donald Trump is going to protect it and that he is going to advocate for a competitive health care system, that he is going to advocate for the middle class and the taxpayer over the big government, where if you look at every turn from the alternative that you have to vote for right now with Kamala Harris, she has a big government taxpayer funded solution for every problem you don't even know you have yet. The positivity that surrounds the Donald Trump second term is incredible. And when that's like a 3-minute video. When I watched that 3-minute video last night, I was like, yes, this is it. I consume this and I go, yes, this is what we're trying to say to people. When you're looking at Donald Trump and you think you know the guy because of what you've been told, I just want people to give it a second thought and a second look. And I think the Trump campaign and the RNC should start by really pushing forward positivity. And you got to do it in video form. You got to do it on YouTube ads and in, appearances where your message is a positive one. I don't know that Trump's going to follow my advice in that, but I don't think it's been tried yet. And I think that's where it needs to be. I'd say B/C.
Our hope is not in Donald Trump. Our hope is not in politics at all. I think we've made that clear. But people are desperate for hope right now. And to tap into that is a smart political move. To find the positives from somebody who is in the unique position to have already been president and take from his record, say, you remember this. Here's what we did. Here's what we're going to do again in some cases. That is a winning message.
In one of the video scenes in that video, Trump picks up an adorable baby, just as politicians are apt to do. And Frank on YouTube said, oh my God, Trump picked up a baby and didn't take a bite.
That is a funny moment.
Thanks, Frank.
In that. He's just like, ah, baby. I love babies.
That video, if you want to see the full video, is on my Twitter profile. I just retweeted it, so it'll be at the top. It's Annie Fry Show on X. Go check that out. Think that's a good video?
Yeah. Was that made at that moment? Or was that made recently?
I think it's an old video, and I think it was just made to champion his first 100 days.
Okay.
Man, my heart swelled whenever I saw that.
Yep. Man, it's just weird to be like, we could be positive and happy about Donald Trump.
It is
and not
weird.
Have to be super defensive about Donald Trump and angry at the other side. Like, you don't actually have to be, there's good.
And we don't do this. We don't do this enough where you can go, hey, everybody, you can feel good about this too.
Yeah.
We talk all intellectual about it all the time. And try to hit you in those places where it does hit you, like in the pocketbook, that kind of stuff. We don't do this stuff.
We talk all intellectual. Yes, we do.
I specifically do.
Me do.
I try to bring it down a level because I'm just so academic about it.
You want to be about a man of the people.
Yeah. And I'm so tower noble.
Brad's playing the music. He's had enough.
I don't know why he is.
Tower noble?
Yeah, I'm kind of a tower noble.
I'll Google that.
It's not a phrase. I made it up.
Let us know. I was probably going to find out something I didn't want to know. Let us know what you vote. Give them a grade. The Trump campaign strategy so far. What do you think? Tim said, I gave a B. I'm in education and have been told I grade harshly, but he should focus on issues and policies and stay away from personal attacks. And Paul said, I give him a B+. As long as he lets Harris sink her own ship, he's good. Stop with the name calling, but I think he should call her out on her new policies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
That he had first. Prayers to Georgia. We'll be right back. All right. I want to talk about this. I don't know exactly. I don't know much about this. And I'm going to put this clip up here. This might play sound. It shouldn't play sound, Brad. Do you guys remember there's a photo that was shared by the Navy? And this is something that was maybe, it was months ago, I think. But this photo had, it was a U.S. Navy warship commander. And it was a close-up of him, and he was shooting a rifle.
Yes.
But the scope was mounted backwards.
No, I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
What do you remember from it?
I remember the dude looked completely out of water holding and shooting that gun. And I remember basically 2A Twitter going absolutely insane on this.
There is one way to ignite 2A Twitter.
Oh, my
gosh.
It is
that kind of thing.
The thing is, and I hope I don't steal anybody's thunder, you don't just, like, that gun was prepped and given to him.
So it's just a photo op.
It's a photo op. But the question is, how does somebody in the Navy do that to their CO?
You know the answer to this. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are in charge.
Wow.
He's been the commander. That guy's been relieved.
No way.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
no.
I'll read for you this story here. I'm going to share this image up here so that you guys can follow along and look at this poor guy who has now lost his job. It's no bueno. I've got the image up on our live stream now. It's telling me I need to do something here. He's got the screw. The enemy gets a really close up look at him at his eyeball. It's just not good. It's not a good look. The Navy removed a post on its official Instagram account Wednesday, April 10th, showing a warship commander firing a rifle with a backwards scope.
Oh, look at the shells
but
in the air.
And he is firing though.
They just
but he doesn't know what he's looking at, apparently. He's just firing
he does.
In the ocean.
He just looked really far away.
Yahoo News through the AP reports the commander of a Navy destroyer that's helping protect the San Diego-based aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt in the Middle East has been relieved of duty about 4 months after he was seen in a photo firing a rifle with a scope mounted backwards. The image brought the Navy considerable ridicule on social media. I mean, like, if you're in the Navy, no, worse, if you're in the Army... and you see the Navy's like,
yeah, buddy,
they don't even have the scopes on the right direction. The Navy's really going to be hurt by that because the Army is going to have a field day over it.
This is the first time I'm seeing this picture. That guy is not like just out of high school.
No,
this is a guy who's been a CO. Yeah, okay.
Like he's in charge of a ship or was.
No, he's not anymore. The image brought the Navy considerable ridicule on social media. The San Diego Union Tribune reported that Cameron Yeast, commanding officer of the destroyer USS, wait for it, John McCain, was removed on Friday. The Navy said Yeast was relieved of duty, quote, due to a loss of confidence in his ability to command the guided missile destroyer.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That's currently deployed in the Gulf of Oman. The statement didn't elaborate about why Yeast was replaced. In April, a photo posted on the Navy's social media showed Yeast in a firing stance, gripping the rifle with a backward scope. The military news outlet Stars and Stripes reported that the Marine Corps took a dig at the Navy.
There it is.
You know it. Sharing a photo on his social media of a Marine firing a weapon aboard an amphibious assault ship USS Boxer. The caption read, clear sight picture. Isn't it so great that American capitalism and competition is so large that when the Navy screws up, the Marine's like, we got this. We can win this. This is for us. We were made for this moment.
So it says that they didn't release why he was fired.
Uh-uh. It's not this photo. But.
The post featuring Yace. Well, I mean, it might be an indication of his. The post featuring Yace was ultimately deleted. Quote, thank you for pointing out our rifle scope error in the previous post. The Navy later wrote on social media, that ought to clear things up. Picture has been removed until EMI, which is extra military instruction, is completed.
Okay.
Yace has been temporarily replaced by Captain Allison Christie, Deputy Commodore of Destroyer Squadron 21. That sounds sweet. Which is part of the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group that's also in the Gulf of Oman. The Pentagon sent the carriers to the Middle East to be in position should Israel need help repelling an attack by Iran and other countries if such a thing happens. The Roosevelt is the flagship of a strike group that was recently included. Three Arleigh Burke class destroyers, $2 billion vessels that are designed to shield carriers from attacks by air, sea, and land. This guy probably, I don't know anything about this guy other than unfortunately this picture, which is probably a very sad thing about what is likely a very respectable military career.
It would seem.
I mean, it's funny. But at the same time, like someone handed him, like you said, Brad, handed him a picture and he put it up or something to take a rifle to take a picture with. It's kind of sad.
It is sad. What if we find out that they were actually protecting him? He wasn't actually fired because of this. That he was fired because they released the wider photo and they're like, okay, shoot out that way. And he turns the wrong way. Like, no.
I don't know. I do remember this image causing a bit of a stir. Here's another story that we can talk about. And this is one that was sent to me by one Ethan Hannaford out there. Tim Walz's family is not really a Tim Walz supporter. Have you seen this?
I have. It started with his uncle.
Yes, who I believe goes by Joe.
Or no, I'm sorry, not his uncle, his brother, who is a couple years older than him.
News Nation reports, Jeff, not Joe. Jeff Walz clarifies comments, tells News Nation he opposes Tim Walz's views. Jeff Walz spoke exclusively with News Nation's Rich McHugh. He is a registered Republican. Jeff Walz made the initial post to make clear his opposing views. I find this to be interesting. It's also not shocking that there are family members who disagree. And what does become shocking is that they would be wanting to be like super on the record about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan Wiggins, if you ran for federal office, what percentage of your family would vote for you?
Immediate family, 100%. Extended family? I'll go 80. I'll go 80, maybe 70.
Brad?
I think I could get 90 of extended family, 90%.
Yeah? For but you or for Ryan?
No, I'll that's a tall order to get it for Ryan.
I'll be your running mate. I'll deliver Illinois for
85.
Who do you know in Chicago?
No kidding.
If we're talking my extended family, it might be 50%.
Wow.
I have a lot of people in my family who think differently. And, you know, some of them have made more clear than others that they don't agree with me. But I presume that they're not listening. I know that there are people in my family who don't like me because of it. And then there are also people in my family who... It's an interesting time because they are fiscally conservative. They're not interested in social dictation of a political party that's going to tell you everything that you have to do, how you're going to live, who you're going to love and all that stuff. And I'm like, then you should be voting Republican because if there's one party out there right now that wants to manage your life for you, it's not Donald Trump's Republican Party. It's the Kamala Harris Party. They're going to infiltrate every crack in every surface to try to manage your life. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask some important people in my family what percentage they think. If it'd be over 50, maybe 55, just to give me a majority.
Doesn't that hurt you a little bit? If you're Tim Walz or you're the politician, whatever it is, and your family decides to release a photo of themselves wearing your last name for your opponent, that's got to hit home pretty good. It would hit me.
You don't think there would be any indication to you beforehand, though, that you might have family members that would do that?
Yes. But to, for them to go on record and go ahead and here I'm going
that's
to
that's what I'm talking about. Like they would like you understand what that relationship is like before
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm texting my parents.
I think I see. I'm making the phone call because I think it's unless it's so extended that I don't really have a relationship with these people. If they're people that I know, I see them at holidays and stuff. I'm calling Uncle Gary and I'm like, Gary, what are you doing? Hey, I knew you leaned left, and this isn't even true because my Uncle Gary is a real person. And I don't think he leaned left.
Gary's gone. Well,
he's like, hey, second way.
You disparage my name.
Yeah.
He's definitely not voting
Gary's
for you.
Right, yeah. Gary's running against you in the primary now. Yeah.
Man, dang it. I'm sorry, Uncle Gary.
Yeah, I'm primarying you.
Does Gary listen to the show?
He might.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I know his son does.
Gary, I'm interested in doing a hit ad on Ryan.
My cousin Craig.
Call me.
I didn't mean that about your dad, Craig.
Does Craig listen?
Yeah.
Hi, Greg. I don't know. You think if you say 80% of your family would vote for you, is that parallel to their party preference or the fact that there are people who in your family who vote left, but they'd still vote for you because you're family?
I think it's mostly parallel to their party preference, but not entirely. There are some people who...
Give us the names of your Democrat relatives.
Absolutely not. Or I'll give you a fake one, like my uncle...
Schmeg.
Trey.
Trey's totally a Dem.
Yeah. His last name is Gowdy. No, not that one.
Trey not Gowdy.
Trey not Gowdy. My uncle Trey not Gowdy.
You said 90%?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't feel that confident. I don't. I did have a family member. This is kind of a funny story. I did have a family. I hope it's okay that I am telling the story. And if he's listening right now, hi, thank you for listening. But there was a couple family members of mine that live in the Missouri side of the river they got together and the one family member said to the other, and I've met this group of family before, but I have not spent a lot of time with them. And I think I've met them family reunions and stuff. And he said to this other family member that I have, that I see much more frequently, I was looking at Facebook and I'm like, why is Annie Fry playing cards with all my relatives? It's like your family, buddy.
What? What?
He said that he'd been listening to my show for like years.
He didn't know he's related to you?
No.
What?
No.
Really?
He's like maybe my third cousin or something like that. So we're not in the same circles. We live in different places. But he's a fan of the show and was like, I've been listening to her for years. Why is she playing cards with my family?
That's funny.
Like, we should play cards together.
That's really funny.
Get some euchre going on.
It's like that's like my uncle. My uncle listened to the show and he was talking to my aunt. And he's like,
oh,
man,
yeah.
Like, that Annie Fry show, do you ever listen to that? They're great. They're amazing. And they just got this new producer, Brad. And she's like, that's your nephew. And he's like, what?
That's
Hi, Uncle Brian.
It's so flattering, though, when you find out people aren't, like, obligatory listening. It's like, well, we know of two people.
Right.
There are two of you out there that are thankfully listening to the show, not because you're obligated. But then again, I think about 55% of my family would vote for me.
It still happens to me now sometimes, but I've been in radio long enough for enough years that the people who I did not know, because I've got a large extended family on both sides of my dad and mom in this area, that I've got cousins who, if they've married different people, I don't know their last names, you know.
Sure.
And they would show up at events for radio and
like,
go,
hey,
I'm your cousin. I'm like, well, great to meet you. Didn't even know.
If you're ever interested in giving us feedback on the show, I'm always interested in learning. We've had this link out for people who follow us on our social media before, but I would love to get some of your feedback. If you're listening to us just straight over the radio, we love that. The Odyssey app, great signal coming in everywhere you go all the time, AUDACY. If you go to AnnieFryShow.com, there's a feedback form there. You can fill it out. Give us the honest scoop, especially about how you feel about Ryan. People always write nice things about Ryan, and sometimes I tell them.
Don't tell me about the bad ones.
I never do, Ryan.
Thank you.
They're never bad. They're all good. AnnieFryShow.com for that feedback form. Would love to hear from you. We'll give you the results of the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. Grade the Trump campaign strategy so far. We'll be right back. You guys leave those feedback form results for us to go through, and we can take from that. For instance, something that if you go to AnnieFryShow.com, there's a feedback form that you can fill out. It comes to me, and I can use that to improve the show. Some people love X's and O's. Some people do not love X's and O's. I got one today that it was in all caps. We love X's and O's. But somebody told us that their favorite thing about the show is when we get joking around and laughing, and that she's like said something about how she laughs so hard she pees. It's like, okay, I think that's a win.
Yeah, whenever you see somebody out just in the wild, you know, you're shopping or whatever, and you see that they're just covered in pee, you just assume they're a listener.
And that's Annie Fry. You ain't cool.
Yeah.
Unless you pee your pants. And listen to the Annie Fry Show. Can we make that a promo? Don't make that a promo. That's the promo.
Done.
Oh, man. How many days? It's next Tuesday is the debate. Do you think that the debate is going to dramatically change the trajectory?
You gonna finish or?
I want to say it correctly.
Okay.
Of this race.
No, I don't think this one will. It could, but I don't think it will. The interesting thing about this debate is that Donald Trump really has only a little bit of downside. He's got mostly upside.
That's what Kahaly said.
That's true. He did say that. I was thinking that this morning,
though. You're just repeating what he said.
I just liked Robert C. Cayley. He's so cool. He's a pollster.
Robert C. Cayley.
He wears a bow tie.
Trafalgar. Go on.
So Kamala Harris has a lot to lose.
Please put your bow tie on?
I don't really have my bow tie with me. I wear my Sodak shirt today. Kamala Harris could really come out of this worse and really not a lot better. So I guess she could silence critics a little bit. That would be her best performance. Here's the other thing, though. If it's a close debate, if you walk away from this debate, like a lot of them, and you go, my guy did pretty good, the other guy's side says, yeah, my lady did pretty good, whatever, then there probably will be one more debate. If one of them wins big, that's the last debate, because they won't agree to another one.
What do you think?
I didn't think the last one would have a big thing, big impact. And so I think that this one
who is
going,
the Democrat next candidate?
I think
Tim Walz.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think that Kamala Harris
not happy
has to hit a home run in this. I think she has to hit a home run. I don't think she can get away with just surviving, because the expectations for her are already higher than Biden, because she doesn't walk around like a corpse. She's goofy. She makes people like cringe with her laugh and stuff like that. But she's not considered really in the minds of the American people completely and utterly incompetent.
The difference between 2020 and 2024, I think significantly, is that there really wasn't anything dramatic to vote against Joe Biden for. That is not the case this time.
No.
Being the not Trump candidate, he was the perfect beige, boring, candidate where you're like, man, I'm not voting for Trump. I can vote for Joe Biden. Fine. Whatever. I don't even care if he's ancient. Whatever. I'm not voting for Trump, but I'm happy to not do it. When you go to do that and it's like, but I'm voting for Kamala, there's a little bit of like, no bueno. Yeah, I don't know that that's going to be I think that's going to be a big factor.
She's never been considered really that serious of a candidate ever. And so this debate may show that. Even if she's giving perfectly rehearsed answers and the questions go right her way, she still just doesn't deliver them in a way that makes you confident.
Real quick before we go, a little bit of Dear Abby. You know how I love Dear Abby and Miss Manners. This is in the New York Post. I've been around Kendra since she was 4. I'm 59 and not married to her mother, although we are good friends. Kendra is 36 now and has an 8-year-old son. She lives with her boyfriend, who is her father. They are not married. We have a great relationship. For some reason, over the past 4 months, my feelings for Kendra have grown into an infatuation.
Uh-oh. Where's this going?
I mean, I have always loved her, but now I wish I was with her. I want to be with her. My feelings are strong. I would even marry her.
So, okay. Well, I would assume that's what he was saying the whole time, but apparently it was different.
I know she loves me, but I doubt in the way I love her now. I don't want to destroy what we have, but it's killing me that I can't be with her. I have jealous feelings like a kid. I love her very much and would never do anything to hurt her. I guess I'm just a stupid old man thinking this way, but I can't help it. I can honestly say that I'm in love with her. I'm confused about what I need to do.
Ooh. Yeah, you don't want to sacrifice your relationship as neighbors.
The response is, what happened 4 months ago that changed your feelings about Kendra from the paternal ones you felt for 32 years? If you express to her the feelings you are harboring, you will blow the entire family apart. And an appropriate place to examine your feelings would be in the office of a licensed psychotherapist. Please don't wait.
I think that's probably the appropriate response.
What do you think you're going to get when, like, do you, if you write that note to Dear Abby, do you think they're going to be like, you should shoot your shot, man?
Look, the problem is, this guy may have no bad intentions at all. He's, you know, he's just infatuated with somebody. But you've got to realize the social aspect of what you're doing.
There's no ending to that.
No,
that works.
It's not going to go well. I kind of feel bad for the guy, because if he is just like, there's nothing really wrong with what he's saying. It's just like, oh, he's just got an infatuation. Just let it go.
Go to the therapist.
I don't know if he needs to go to therapy, but it seems pretty extreme. I met a guy once that, short story. We met a guy once that was in his mid to early 60s. And gosh, was that guy good looking. No.
Button-up pants.
He was going to the same restaurant over and over. And he told, and I don't remember why I was talking to him. I think he went to my church. And he was like, yeah, really? I wonder if I got a shot with that waitress. And I was like, I went to high school with that waitress. You don't have a shot with that girl. But I didn't know how to tell him that. I felt bad for him. I think I'm kind of projecting this on a Dear Abby guy.
Did you?
I told him, I don't know, man. I don't know if maybe that's going to work. But he was just kind of lonely guy, super nice guy. Felt bad.
So you thought, I should tell St. Louis.
He's sitting in his car right now. Oh no,
I didn't have a chance. That was 10 years ago. I'm still working up the courage.
It's not Cousin Craig, is it?
No, Uncle, Craig's fine.
Uncle Gary.
YouTube live chat poll. Grade the Trump campaign strategy so far. You were?
BC.
Brad?
BC.
And I am a BC. I want positivity. I'm still going to ask for it. I can ask for it. HW said, wish they would only concentrate on policy. I'm tired of the name calling as I am usually by August or September. And Andy said, B/C, I think he's out there too much. That's an interesting take. I don't know that Andy really is in love with the idea of seeing Donald Trump in general, so I could see how anything would be too much. The poll results, as they have come in so far, 5% of almost 300 votes said D, 19% said F, 20% said A, and 55% said B/C. So a solid 75% of you think it's a good passing grade. Let's see if up into the town hall tonight, if anything changes. We shall see. Mark Reardon with the latest on the tragedy in Georgia coming up next. Be right back. You guys leave those feedback form results for us to go through, and we can take from that. For instance, something that if you go to AntiFryShow.com, there's a feedback form that you can fill out. It comes to me. And I can use that to improve the show. Some people love X's and O's. Some people do not love X's and O's. I got one today that it was in all caps. We love X's and O's. But somebody told us that their favorite thing about the show is when we get joking around and laughing. And that she's like, said something about how she laughs so hard she pees. It's like, okay, I think that's a win.
Yeah, whenever you see somebody out just in the wild, you know, you're shopping or whatever, and you see that they're just covered in pee, you just assume they're a listener.
And that's Annie Fry. You ain't cool.
Yeah.
Unless you pee your pants. And listen to the Annie Fry Show. Can we make that a promo? Don't make that a promo. That's the promo.
Done.
Oh, man. How many days? It's next Tuesday is the debate. Do you think that the debate is going to dramatically change the trajectory?
You gonna finish or?
I want to say it correctly.
Okay.
Of this race.
No, I don't think this one will. It could, but I don't think it will. The interesting thing about this debate is that Donald Trump really has only a little bit of downside. He's got mostly upside.
That's what Kahaly said.
That's true. He did say that. I was thinking that this morning,
though. You're just repeating what he said.
I just liked Robert C. Cayley. He's so cool. He's a poster.
Robert C. Cayley.
He wears a bow tie.
Trafalgar. Go on.
So Kamala Harris has a lot to lose.
Please put your bow tie on?
I don't have my bow tie with me. I wear my Sodak shirt today. Kamala Harris could really come out of this worse and really not a lot better. So I guess she could silence critics a little bit. That would be her best performance. Here's the other thing, though. If it's a close debate, if you walk away from this debate, like a lot of them, and you go, my guy did pretty good, the other guy's side says, yeah, my lady did pretty good, whatever, then there probably will be one more debate. If one of them wins big, that's the last debate, because they won't agree to another one.
You think? What do you think?
I didn't think the last one would have a big thing, big impact, and so I think that this one
who
is
the Democrat next candidate?
I think
Tim Walz.
Oh yeah. No!
I think that Kamala Harris
not happy
has to hit a home run in this. I think she has to hit a home run. I don't think she can get away with just surviving, because the expectations for her are already higher than Biden, because she doesn't walk around like a corpse. She's goofy. She makes people like cringe with her laugh and stuff like that. But she's not considered really in the minds of the American people completely and utterly incompetent.
The difference between 2020 and 2024, I think significantly, is that there really wasn't anything dramatic to vote against Joe Biden for. That is not the case this time.
No.
Being the not Trump candidate, he was the perfect beige, boring, bleh candidate where you're like, man, I'm not voting for Trump. I can vote for Joe Biden, fine, whatever. I don't even care if he's ancient, whatever. I'm not voting for Trump, and I'm happy to not do it. When you go to do that, and it's like, but I'm voting for Kamala, there's a little bit of like, no bueno. Yeah, I don't know that that's going to be the, I think that's going to be a big factor.
She's never been considered really that serious of a candidate, ever. And so this debate may show that. Even if she's giving perfectly rehearsed answers and the questions go right her way, she still just doesn't deliver them in a way that makes you confident.
Real quick before we go, a little bit of Dear Abby. You know how I love Dear Abby and Miss Manners. This is in the New York Post. I've been around Kendra since she was 4. I'm 59 and not married to her mother, although we are good friends. Kendra is 36 now and has an 8-year-old son. She lives with her boyfriend, who is her father. They are not married. We have a great relationship. For some reason, over the past 4 months, my feelings for Kendra have grown into an infatuation.
Uh-oh. Where's this going?
I mean, I have always loved her, but now I wish I was with her. I want to be with her. My feelings are strong. I would even marry her.
So, okay. Well, I would assume that's what he was saying the whole time, but apparently it was different.
I know she loves me, but I doubt in the way I love her now. I don't want to destroy what we have, but it's killing me that I can't be with her. I have jealous feelings like a kid. I love her very much and would never do anything to hurt her. I guess I'm just a stupid old man thinking this way, but I can't help it. I can honestly say that I'm in love with her. I'm confused about what I need to do.
Ooh. Yeah, you don't want to sacrifice your relationship as neighbors.
The response is, what happened 4 months ago that changed your feelings about Kendra from the paternal ones you felt for 32 years? If you express to her the feelings you are harboring, you will blow the entire family apart. And an appropriate place to examine your feelings would be in the office of a licensed psychotherapist. Please don't wait.
I think that's probably the appropriate response.
What do you think you're going to get when, like, do you, if you write that note to Dear Abby, do you think they're going to be like, you should shoot your shot, man?
Look, the problem is this guy may have no bad intentions at all. He's, you know, he's just infatuated with somebody. But you've got to realize the social aspect of what you're doing.
There's no ending to that.
No,
that works.
It's not going to go well. I kind of feel bad for the guy, because if he is just like, there's nothing really wrong with what he's saying. It's just like, oh, he's just got an infatuation. Just let it go.
Go to the therapist.
I don't know if he needs to go to therapy, but it seems pretty extreme. I met a guy once that, short story, we met a guy once that was in his mid to early 60s. And gosh, was that guy good looking. No.
Button-up pants.
He was going to the same restaurant over and over. And he told, and I don't remember why I was talking to him. I think he went to my church. And he was like, yeah, really? I wonder if I got a shot with that waitress. And I was like, I went to high school with that waitress. You don't have a shot with that girl. But I didn't know how to tell him that. I felt bad for him. I think I'm kind of projecting this on a Dear Abby guy.
Did you?
I told him, I don't know, man. I don't know if maybe that's going to work. But he was just kind of lonely guy, super nice guy. Felt bad.
So you thought, I should tell St. Louis.
He's sitting in his car right now. Oh no.
Oh, no. I didn't have a chance. That was 10 years ago. I'm still working up the courage.
It's not Cousin Craig, is it?
No. Craig's fine.
Uncle Gary.
No, YouTube live chat poll. Grade the Trump campaign strategy so far. You were?
BC.
Brad?
BC.
And I am a BC. I want positivity. I'm still going to ask for it. I can ask for it. HW said, wish they would only concentrate on policy. I'm tired of the name calling as usual by August or September. And Andy said, B/C, I think he's out there too much. That's an interesting take. I don't know that Andy really is in love with the idea of seeing Donald Trump in general, so I could see how anything would be too much. The poll results, as they have come in so far, 5% of almost 300 votes said D, 19% said F, 20% said A, and 55% said B/C. So a solid 75% of you think it's a good passing grade. Let's see if up into the town hall tonight, if anything changes. We shall see. Mark Reardon with the latest on the tragedy in Georgia coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.